Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. I'm the president of Texas Values. Texas Values is a nonprofit organization, a 501c3 statewide organization working on faith, family, and freedom here in the state of Texas. And our office is actually located in Austin, just two blocks from the state capitol. I'm a licensed attorney. I've been working on these issues for over 10 years and a proud native Texan, fifth generation at least, I say. Who knows? It may go back further. But I'm glad to be with you. We got a great show today. A lot of important things happening. We got a great guest that's coming on today. We're going to have Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton joining us shortly. He's got an update on a very important case regarding the threat of the federal government trying to tell us what to do as far as our marriage laws and trying to undermine our state laws and state sovereignty. So a great update coming from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And you may not have met Ken Paxton before. He's, you know, took office earlier this year, won an election late last year in November, former state senator. And I'll talk a little bit more about him when he comes on the show. But we're excited to have him a part of our show and what we're doing. So that's going to be coming up shortly. Hope you're having a great Easter weekend. Some of y'all may have remembered last year we had a little dust up on the Good Friday issue and students being able to get excused absences. I'll talk a little bit about that. But a lot happened this week on the issue of religious freedom and marriage across the country. Some of that was here in our state. Some of that's been at the national level. And so really be some good updates that we're going to provide for you on that. But just a lot to know. If you haven't been to our website before, it's txvalues.org. And so, you know, you can donate to our work. We do count on donations to continue to do the work we do in the courts, the legislature, and the media. And so we invite you to check out that website and learn more about the work we're doing, txvalues.org. And, you know, we have been involved in this work for quite some time. Our organization's been around for a couple of years, but we formerly, most of our staff were a part of Liberty Institute, a nonprofit religious liberty organization that works on court cases. And so we've got quite a history and legacy of the work that we do. But, you know, it's always been about faith, family, and freedom, and that's been the case in our state. And so we're proud to do the work that we do. And, you know, had the benefit of getting to have an article published about religious freedom in the Statesman about a week or so ago. If you didn't catch it, you can find it online. We got a link to it on our Facebook page, and there's a good reason for that. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about the issue of religious freedom, what it means, what role the government plays when we have laws as far as giving you the right to defend yourself against the government when certain local and maybe state or federal level government entities will try to restrict your religious freedom rights and infringe upon that, what all that means. And so I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more detail after we hear from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And so I'm excited. I used to live in Ken Paxton's district when I was first starting some of this work. And so we've known each other for quite a while. But, you know, the position of Attorney General is pretty important, and it's becoming talked about even more because we're seeing challenges to our state laws, and we're seeing people, we're seeing the federal government, if you will, that's trying to undermine our laws for different reasons. And we've seen the Attorney General have to get involved in a lot of litigation on these issues, which is unfortunate that we have to continue to fight off efforts by the federal government to do it. But this is part of what we do as a state. This is part of the roles that exist. And so, you know, I've been asked that a lot of times by reporters, well, you know, why is the Attorney General doing this? Or why are people, you know, pushing back on these issues? Well, when it comes to issues of marriage and religious freedom, these are our laws. And so we have every right to defend them. And so I don't know why it's a surprise to people. I think what it is there are some people that want to so aggressively change our laws, and they don't want to go through the process to do that. They want to just have their way whenever they want it, and they just want everyone to just look the other way because of a feeling they have from one day to the next. And that's not the way that we make public policy. I mean, that's not the way that you govern. That's not the way that we continue to maintain order in our society. I mean, and so there are processes that you have to go through. I mean, and for good reason. You know, if we're going to have laws in place, we need to know what they're about. We need to know the impact that we're going to have. We need to have people testify or communicate about the need for those type of laws and where they're coming from and what the words mean. And so if there's going to be a change in a law, you would think that we'd have to go through a similar process so people would become aware of why law needs to be changed, what the problems are with the current law, if any. And, you know, that's relevant. That is certainly relevant, and that's got to be a part of the equation. And so that's why we defend our laws, because they were well thought out when they were put into place, particularly on the issue of marriage and religious freedom. You know, I can remember some of those discussions and debates that happened in 2005 and before that on these issues. And so you had a lot of people that weighed in on this and talked about their concerns and their reasons. And the government's long been involved in the issues of marriage because the government feels like, you know, if there's a model that works when it comes to marriage, mom and dad together raising a child, that this is the model that the government is going to support, because we know statistically that's where people thrive the most. And when they thrive, that helps for the economic stability of a state and government and the well-being of the individuals that live in the state, particularly for us in the state of Texas. And so that's why it's important for us to continue to have those laws, but that's also why the government's involved at all. You know, there's certainly people out there now that are suggesting, oh, well, maybe the government shouldn't be involved in marriage laws. Well, you know, I understand people have that viewpoint, but the government is. And if the government's going to be involved in it, it shouldn't be a surprise that the government will be supporting the arrangement, if you will, that's worked the best and continues to stand the test of time. And certainly there are things that happen where people decide not to be married anymore, they decide to get a divorce, or they decide not to get married. And this, you know, the law on marriage does not affect people's freedoms to decide to make particular personal choices. But if we're going to redefine marriage and we're going to change our laws, there's a process that we should go through. And some people don't want to go through that process. And I think partly it's frankly because they don't think that they're going to be able to do that. So I do think we've got Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on the line and join us. General Paxton, you with us?
I am there. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Good to be with you. Thanks for taking some time to join our show, the Texas Values Report.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Glad to be with you.
You bet. Well, I just want to tell our listeners just a little bit about you, newly elected, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that are familiar with you during your time serving in the House and the Senate, but I just want to roll a few things out. General Paxton earned his law degree from the University of Virginia School of Law, and after law school, he worked for a law firm and later served as in-house counsel for the JCPenney Company. He was first elected to the Texas House of Representatives in 2002, and he represented House District 70 for 10 years, one of the fastest growing regions in the state. 2012, he was elected to the Texas State Senate in the Collin County area, and then ran for Attorney General, and obviously won, and was very successful. His wife is, he met his wife, who's a guidance counselor at Legacy Christian Academy in Frisco while they were students at Baylor. General Paxton and his family have four children, Tucker, Abby, Maddie, and Katie, and they're members of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano. And, you know, I'm a former constituent. So when I first started working with Liberty Institute, as you might recall, I lived up in the McKinney area. So we are glad to have you on and just so thankful for the leadership that you continue to display.
Well, thank you. I thought maybe you moved away from my district to get away from my representation.
Right. Well, you know, I tell you what, I live in Hays County, just south of Austin, and Jason Isaac is the House member and Donna Campbell is the state senator, but it wasn't that way when I moved there. So I was certainly missing the good representatives like yourself from Collin County when I first came to the area. But hey, those are the things we do sometimes to get more engaged in the battle. And so I'm glad that you've continued to stand for traditional values in the work that you do. And I'm glad you're coming on today, because a very important issue that's come up, and you know, you've been in office officially for just a few months and have jumped right into the issues that are concerning people the most. And in particular, today we get a chance to discuss this lawsuit that has come up with you defending our state sovereignty and defending the right of us to continue to follow our state law on the marriage and not let the federal government dictate what we should do by administrative rule. Tell us a little bit about that lawsuit.
So we were notified as companies over size of 50 and state agencies were notified by the Labor Department. They'd changed the definition under the Family Medical Leave Act, they've changed the definition of spouse to include same-sex partners. And they were doing this not through Congress. They were just issuing a whole new rule, which changed the law. And we looked around. We decided we weren't going to comply with that. But we also realized that it would put other agencies and other businesses in a box. And so rather than waiting to be sued by the Labor Department, we decided to act. And we sued the Labor Department a couple of weeks ago. And we asked for a stop to that change until we could go to trial. And fortunately, the judge granted a preliminary injunction. This was in federal district court in Wichita Falls. And so that particular change in law, the Labor Department sought, has been stopped for the time being while we have the opportunity to actually go to court and trial on this.
Well, this is a very important case, and I know that you've also been fortunate to have other states join along with you. I think you've got Arkansas, Louisiana, and Nebraska. But
that's correct.
But certainly the potential here is that when we're dealing with a rule from the federal government that, the possibility of this impacting more states, and I'm sure there are other states that care about this issue, but I know there's a timing issue there as far as the nature of this rule was about to go into effect.
That's correct.
And so
we actually got the preliminary injunction a day before it was to go into effect. I think it was on a Thursday that we got the preliminary injunction, which basically stops or halts the implementation of the rule, the change in the rule, and then it was supposed to go into effect on Friday. So we stopped it not just for Texas or for the states that were involved in our lawsuit. It was stopped by the judge across the United States.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And I mean, we're no stranger in Texas to taking the lead on issues to look out for the rest of the country. And so I'm thankful for your leadership on this issue. I think it's important, too, for people, because I've been asked this question from time to time, to get an understanding, if they don't already have one, of the role of the Attorney General's office in defending our state laws, because some people will think, about different judgments or whatever. But, I mean, this is the role. This is one of the most important roles of the Attorney General's office, is when our state laws are being disrespected or being undermined, that the role in the office and the position of the Attorney General to defend our laws. That's a pretty important principle. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I agree totally. And we're talking about not just our state laws, but we're talking about, federal law that's being changed. We're talking about the role of the president and the agencies that he administers. I mean, we're talking about the role of Congress. And so is it possible now for the president just to change law in different agencies? And that's apparently what he's decided to do in his last 2 years. And so unless states stand up and fight back, he's going to change the entire role of how the president is able to now go outside what we believe outside his constitutional role and his duty.
Well, no, that's a great point. And, and what's highlighted in this, the judge's opinion, and also from the briefing and pleadings from your office on this, was making the point, or showing people, letting them recognize, and not only the judges, but for people having access to these documents, how the U.S. Supreme Court of Windsor on the issue of the federal definition of marriage, in one aspect of that being changed, how that's been misrepresented, or at least some people have tried to use it in a way to try to suggest that they don't have to currently respect our state laws. And so I like how, through this lawsuit and through the opinion and the briefs, that issue has been able to be highlighted and set the record straight, if you will, that the Windsor decision did not mean that we lost the right of at the state level to continue to defend our marriage laws.
Yeah, Jonathan, that's absolutely right. Both Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed by Congress years ago, and the corresponding Windsor case that discussed the Defense of Marriage Act, there was part of DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, that was struck down, but the part that stayed and the part that they affirmed was the ability of states to continue to define marriage. And so there's been a lot of confusion about that, but according to the Supreme Court, at least in their latest rulings and the current law, we still as a state have the right to define marriage, and we have for our entire existence.
Well, and I want to thank you for continuing to have leadership on this issue, because I think what we're seeing across the country is some people are either being pressured or they've made a decision on their own to just concede this issue because of a misreading of the U.S. Supreme Court opinion, or them thinking that you know, they're going to face some type of public scrutiny, and even some attorneys general stepping away from their role to defend their laws in the state. And I mean, what a disaster that would be if you had all 50, you know, attorney generals, or even one, I mean, continue to go down this road of just making their own judgment and deciding that they're going to step back from their role to defend our laws that, particularly in this case, the people voted on at the ballot with our marriage amendment in the definition of our marriage law. And so as we get closer to a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on the marriage issue, and we'll see then what impact, if any, it has on Texas, there's some people that think that this issue is just too controversial or too hot, and so they're making political judgments. But I see here you continue to stay principled and continue to show why it's important on these issues and why we continue to have the right and the responsibility to defend our marriage laws.
Well, you know, states' rights and the 10th Amendment still exist, as far as I ever read in the Constitution, and there's still a role for the president, and there's a role for Congress. And if we let things slip by like this that are, you know, critical issues to our state and to our country, and ultimately we cede over authority that is not permitted in the Constitution. And so I'm hoping as we deal with the next 2 years or the last 2 years of the Obama administration that more and more people are aware, even if you happen to agree with maybe a particular issue the administration is changing the law on, the way that they're doing it is dangerous for our future, because if this president can change law without congressional approval, then that means that future presidents can do that, and people may not agree, even if they happen to agree with one issue that Obama changes, or maybe two, or maybe more, maybe all of them. Ultimately, you are transferring power away from the elected representatives to one person, and that, to me, is a very dangerous precedent.
No, that's a great point. Well, what happens going forward? So the court ruled in the favor of Texas and these other states, so the federal government has got to stop trying to enforce this rule. What happens next as far as the litigation?
Well, likely I wouldn't be surprised if that preliminary injunction is challenged at the Fifth Circuit. So going to the Court of Appeals, and so if that occurs, we'd argue our preliminary injunction there, and then if depending on how that goes, you could end up in the Supreme Court just on the preliminary injunction. After all of that process is over, then we'd actually have the trial at some point on the merits of whether the Labor Department is violating law by changing law, and so that process, you know, could take months. Who knows how long it would take, but It'll be, hopefully, a quick process.
Well, and it appears, at least for the time being in the near future, I mean, certainly you would think up until June, we won't see any of this change. And so the federal government at least has been stopped for now. And it's due to the leadership of you and your team. And so we thank you for what you're doing. And we're going to continue to ask our listeners and our supporters to pray for you. We know the work that you're involved in has its challenges. There are always deadlines, and there are many other issues that you work on. And so we know that you're also a strong man of faith. And so we'll continue to lift you up in prayer, and also continue to inform people about the important work that your office is involved in and why it matters.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. I certainly appreciate you having me on the show, and appreciate those prayers. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, thanks again for joining us today. The interaction that we had, and you heard from some of the comments, we're talking about some very important principles. And so, you know, and I think Attorney General Paxton made a great point about how it could be one issue or the other. I mean, we're talking about the role of government, the role of the federal government, the role of that power, when the federal government decides that they're going to make rules on their own that have not been through the congressional process, the legislative process at that level. And really, you know, when they do these rule level makings, these rule makings at that level, you know, there's a comment period and most people aren't aware of it. And so, you know, the Attorney General's office was on top of this to be aware of it, but most people weren't. And so, and that's what happens a lot of times. And that's why it's important when you're going to make changes like these, that they happen in an open and transparent process. And I think sometimes you can't help but think the reason it didn't happen that way is because they knew that if this saw the light of day, that there'd be significant opposition. And as there should be, you know, I mean, when our marriage laws were passed in Texas, you had 76% of the people that supported it. And so, you know, you're not going to just overturn that overnight or within a few years and expect people to just look the other way. I mean, that's a major violation of the rights and the sovereignty we have as a state. But, you know, a lot of this is tied to the religious freedom issue, the religious liberty issue, because there are people that want to redefine marriage, they want to redefine sexuality, and then they want to use a change in the law as a weapon against someone of faith because they disagree with people on these issues, and they think that they know a lot of people believe in marriage because it comes down to a religious or a biblical belief. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of talk about the religious freedom issue this week. We've seen the laws that Indiana passed and some of the things that are happening with their governor after the fact, after the governor signed that law. Arkansas was on the cusp, if you will, of signing their law, and then the governor hesitated and now is saying that, you know, they want to take a closer look at this. But what we're also seeing is the backlash that happens so quickly when people are simply passing a law similar to what we have in the state of Texas that says that government cannot substantially burden your religious freedom rights and beliefs and your free exercise of religion unless they have a compelling interest, which essentially means unless the government has a really good reason, they shouldn't be punishing you. The only reason we're going to see these conflicts is when the government is stepping in and using their power to restrict your speech, to restrict your action, to fine you, to punish you in some way. There's this notion that, you know, the other side, if you will, is trying to perpetuate that what these laws are on religious freedom are ways for people of faith, Christians, whoever, to come out and try to sue somebody and try to infringe upon their rights. It has nothing to do with that. These religious freedom rights are a shield. They're not a sword. It's when the government comes calling and says, we don't like what you're doing, and we're going to punish you for doing it or believing it. And then you get to say, wait a minute, I want to defend myself against the government, and I just want to have a fighting chance in court. And you, there's no guarantee that you'll win. And so just a great example of that is the Hobby Lobby decision, okay? Hobby Lobby is a business that the owners are very strong Christians. They're faith-based. It's not a surprise, you know, a mystery to people. They're closed on Sunday. Everyone knows that. The federal government was trying to force them to provide contraceptive methods that they didn't agree with, that they felt like violated their religious beliefs. There were four of the 20 that the federal government, through the Obamacare HHS mandate, was trying to force onto Hobby Lobby and other employers. There were four of them that Hobby Lobby disagreed with because they felt like could lead to an abortion, and their religious beliefs are that they think abortion is immoral and that violates their religious beliefs. And so they didn't want to use their company to provide those benefits for their employees for those four different methods. The federal government said, we're going to force you to do it. We're going to punish you if you don't. We're going to fine you. I think it was, you know, close. There were millions of dollars, numbers that were being thrown around, how difficult and what a burden that would have been on this business. And, you know, I think there are some people who believe they might have had to shut down because they wouldn't have been able to afford the fines, and they would have had to do some type of other business or not at all. That's what we're talking about. That's an example of the government saying, we're going to punish you for trying to follow your religious beliefs. And so Hobby Lobby fought back, if you will, under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is the same standard used in Texas and all these other states that you're seeing. And it's simply, the heart of it is a test that says the government cannot substantially burden your free exercise of religion unless they have a compelling interest to do it. And that means unless they have a very good reason. And we've seen cases where that's happened. You can't use racial discrimination based on your religion. Supreme Court has already ruled they have the government has a compelling interest to stop you from doing that, as you would imagine and you would expect, and we would support the government being able to step in that situation. It, you know, if you have issues of criminal laws, people's lives being threatened and things of that nature, you can't use those for religious reason. Domestic violence laws, a whole host of things where the government has every right to say that you can't go that far with a defense about your religious beliefs. But that's not what we're seeing. I mean, the cases we're seeing is when the government is trying to really force their view on people on issues of marriage, on issues of the issue of the definition and the beginning of life, on some of these pro-life and abortion issues. And so why wouldn't someone be able to defend themselves in court and not be fined or punished or driven out of business or not allowed to pray? I mean, you've got the Kuntz cheerleaders from East Texas who wanted to have Bible verses on a banner for a football game. And the school district there, the government, told them no. That's the government trying to restrict their rights and punish them by not allowing them to speak, censoring them. They had to fight for that defense and their rights in court and defend themselves against the actions the government was taking. And we've seen other cases of that. There's a Jewish rabbi in Dallas that's dealing with this issue where that rabbi has been sued by the government, the city of Dallas, and he's using these type of arguments and defenses and these laws to defend himself against the government intrusion onto his right to meet with people and to pray in a residential building. And so that's what we're talking about. And so, you know, I don't know of anyone that's trying to deny people service as people are trying to make it. And the laws don't say that. They simply say when the government tries to punish you, like they're doing in some of these other cases where you have a photographer or you have a florist, the Baronell Stutzman case, this florist, this woman has, I believe, hired people that are homosexual. She has served them for years, but she doesn't want to be forced to have her flowers and her business used to support a wedding ceremony. That's a matter of her conscience. She's been serving them for years. That's not the question. And so now the government is suing her, is fining her, and essentially she's about to be driven out of business. That's what we're talking about. That's the government attacking her for her religious beliefs. And so you would think there'd be laws where they could, you know, she could defend herself in court. But once again, this doesn't mean that the person that's asserting a religious belief is going to win. It simply means they'll have a fighting chance to defend themselves in court. We see the Houston Baptist University, they've got a court hearing next week on this. So these laws that you see and these proposals that you see at the state level, when we talk about religious freedom, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about making sure that the government, if they try to punish you because of a religious belief or action, you can defend yourself in court. And you still may not win, but you still should have the right to use this legal standard that was approved at the U.S. Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby decision. So we're going to wrap up for today. Great interaction with Attorney General Paxton. We thank him again for coming on the show and enlightening us about that important issue in the state of Texas, defending our marriage laws against the intrusion of the federal government. And so we hope you have a great Easter weekend and that you have time with family and time to reflect on the blessings we have and just the gloriousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we hope you take time to do that. I know I'll be doing that with my family, but we also encourage you to go to our website and get engaged. A lot is happening. TXValues.org. You can find out information. You can donate to us. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And so we're glad that you've been with us. And as I always like to remind people, Proverbs tells us that he who presents his case first seems right until someone steps forth to challenge him. So we invite you to go do that and to continue to know that we'll stand for the issues of faith, family, and freedom here at Texas Values.